When he says he will direct your path, what that simply means, it doesn't mean that God will be whispering to you. He will if he has to, okay? But what that expression actually means is that he will make your path straight. What was crooked? Do you understand? You get to a place, you get to a junction, there are five roads getting off from that junction. He will close four doors. You can only move on one. You get to another one, he will close another door, open another door. So he just starts leading you. He's just making your path straight. So that instead of having to choose between four doors, he keeps closing the ones you're not supposed to go through. You're supposed to invest in a particular business that will lose money for you later. The day that man comes, you're supposed to discuss the business. On your way to the place of meeting, your car spoils on the road. That other man gets impatient and he leaves. You didn't hear from the Holy Spirit, my son, my daughter, my son, thou shalt not invest in that business. You don't hear that. The man just gets there. You just get there and they hear the man got tired of waiting and decided you were not serious and left. So you miss it. The Bible calls it making your path straight. Are you getting my point here? That's just the way it works. All right? Now, Solomon was now saying, when God has done all of this, when he said, honor the Lord from your substance, the first of all your increase, what he was saying is that be careful to acknowledge that he's the one that did it. The principle of first fruits in the old covenant, when God gave it to Moses, the principle was very simple. I'm not going to talk about it in the details at all. But the principle was that make sure you always acknowledge that it was God. So when they start harvesting, they will take the first thing they take out of that place and quickly take it to the temple and recite something. It wasn't just the gift, it was the recitation that was more important. My father was a stranger. He went down to Egypt. He was this. Then God brought us back. Now, from the land that God brought us to, I have brought this. That is everything we have experienced, we acknowledge that he's the one that did it. Are you getting the point here? That's the significance of that. Now, but why did I bring it out? Now, what was David saying? Well, David, Solomon, both of them, I think it was actually the proverb of David recorded by Solomon. All right? Now, what was he saying? He was saying, in effect, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, say, am I not trusting in God? The easy way to understand these things is to look at the other things people are trusting in. What do I mean? I'm a final year. I'm a student. I'm working hard this time around in my final year to improve my grades. Let me see whether I can come out with a second class upper. Somebody says, why? You say, you know, when you leave school, with a grade like that, you will get a good job. It's called trusting in your certificate. Now, when you say trust in the Lord, most people, all right, what takes their eyes away from trusting in God is other things they can trust in. That's the reason why people will fight. Say, if I don't get a visa, I will not prosper. And then they'll be praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, give me a visa. God said they are trusting in geographical location. They will tell you, business is about location, location, location. Have you heard that before? Yeah, if you know anything about business development, they say it all the time. But let me tell you today, it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Paul said, I am what I am, not because of my location, but because of what? The grace of God. No, my wife and I, we talk a lot. Sometimes we are going, I'll just be considering things. I remember when President Obasanjo decided that, you know, before he came to power, all the most toll gates in the country, a contract had been entered into for some people to run them, and they would be getting money and all of that. These contracts were entered into before he became president. So he tried to revoke the contracts. The Igbo rushed to court. And, you know, they didn't know who they were dealing with. The man said, no problem. You can hold your contract. You'll release the decree. Not well. A presidential directive was released. Wipe out every toll gate from Nigeria. Bulldozers came, went to toll gate, all federal roads from the north to the south, to the east to the west. They bulldozed them in a few days. There were no longer toll gates. Those of you who have been in Enugu for long enough, there used to be a toll gate here, one at the other end in Onitsha. Remember? And you woke up one day, there were no toll gates again. Till now, where those toll gates used to be, there are still shops there. This is our own side. So my wife and I looked and said, wow. There were businesses that were thriving because every car had to slow down there. There are people who borrowed money bought land, built something to open shops around there. Then one day, the Bible says, where the word of the king is, there is power. The king released one powerful word and wiped away their business. Location, location, location. What happened to it? Lie, lie, lie. That was the end. The key to financial security, you buy land cheap, sell it expensive. The price of land is always going up. Don't believe that thing is a lie. I don't care the statistics they want to show you, it's a lie. The price of land will not always go up. It will stop going up when Christians start trusting in it. Once Christians gather in mass to invest their money in land so that they can appreciate, God will crash the price. That's what he does. The Bible says, when it happens, don't be angry. That's what the Lord does to those he loves. Is that not your Bible? Proverbs chapter 3. I have noticed, in fact, if you go to my blog, there's a blog I posted a few days ago. I said, trust my latest lesson. Everything people tell you is the way things are sure to get results. Believe me, it's a lie. People say, listen, this is the key to business growth in this day and age. It's Facebook. Your product must be on Facebook. That's why don't put it on Facebook. I didn't say so. But know the truth? Facebook can also kill you. Somebody will buy from you, something you are making, eat it. And you know there are different kinds of food poisoning. When I say food, that's bacterial food poisoning that cause diarrhea and all of that. Some of them act in hours, what we call staph aureus. A few hours, you start vomiting and all of that, very little diarrhea. Some of them give you like a day. Some will give you longer than a day, like 48 hours. So the man who went to eat one bad abacha he bought in one bad place 2 days before, it comes to your business you have put on Facebook, eats. 6 hours later, he starts stooling and vomiting. He tells everybody on Facebook that you gave him food poisoning. You didn't, though. I hope you know you did not. I first established that it was 2 days ago he got it from somewhere. But Facebook will help him help you kill your business. This evening, I got a picture of one particular kind of wafer in town. Somebody forwarded it to me. They said it's poisonous. It killed 58 people in South Africa. They sent it from South Africa. Custom is warning people not to eat it. Of course, you know, I never believe such things because 98% of the time, that's 98, 99% of the times, they are lies. And then I said, if you don't believe it, Google it up. Trust me. I sat there, boom, Google, hit on Google. Checked everywhere, lie. In fact, on one of the pages I found on Google, somebody asked, please, I saw this, is it true? And the other person said, look, you know, the argument came up. Everybody said, it's not true, I've been eating it for a long time. And meanwhile, the fellow forwarded it to me. So I replied him, I said, it's not true, I've checked it. He said, I'm just telling you, just be careful. The person who forwarded it to me is a customs agent. Who's just as foolish as you, of course, you can imagine. Are you getting my point here? See, the same thing, people say, this is the key to increase, can be the key to breakdown. That's what I'm going to emphasize. So the Bible says, don't trust in any of those things. The law of fruitfulness is what I'm talking about. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. You see as we go on, that's what you are going to do in life. You plant. I'll talk later on about law of gifts, law of faithfulness, law of diligence. We'll talk about those things. But they are just methods by which we plant and water. And then we relax and wait for God to give increase. We don't hope in anything apart from the increase that God gives to us as a gift. Remember, it's a spiritual attitude we are teaching. Look, please read that my blog. Trust my latest lesson. The good Lord has taught my wife and I a lot of things in the last few months. And my own latest lesson is that anything you think has a firm result guaranteed, if you follow it, you know, if you follow it like this, the result is guaranteed. The Lord has helped me to see that is a lie. Let me give you a very good example. Very good example. Apostle, now you share this one with me. Although it's my life, but now you tell me about them. Now, good enough, we didn't fall for this. And it didn't fall for it simply because I didn't think it was necessary. And the Lord helped me to know it was not necessary, but I want to bring out something. Now, 2003, we're 2016 now. 13 years ago, in a few months, my wife and I rented this space here. I still remember we sat over here. One of my carpenter at that time, he came, did a lot of work. If you look at some of those pillars, look on the side of the pillars, you see grooves where they were partitioned. So it was just this place that was a hall. So we just used to sit around here. The other day, you saw the picture I posted of those early days. And I remember that day we sat down somewhere around there. They were walking, partitioning the place with plywood and all of that. And my wife and I came to pray. And we prayed. You know, you pray some prayers like David chased Goliath, chased the bear and the lion. You don't even know the implication. You just pray them. And thank God you didn't know, so you prayed it. And we prayed, we said, from here, this gospel, all right, will be spread to the whole earth. You know, we just prayed like that. I still remember that day. In fact, we used to have a picture we took here that day, but I think I've lost it. We used to have a picture. So, we started preaching, and I decided that people said, are you starting the church? I said, no, I just want to teach. So, we started teaching here simply because we wanted to be doing seminars, but the seminars were so expensive. You know, I've told the story of the first one we did now. 3 days meeting, printed 1,000 or 500 or 1,000 flyers, shared it around town. The last day of the meeting, we were only three there. My wife, me. I counted myself when I said three. Counted my wife, counted me. And actually, we were two. Except that my friend, you know, there are some friends that are so good. They are good friends. May the Lord bless my friend Chooks. He and his wife traveled that day for a funeral or something. They just came back to town. And his wife was tired. He just told his wife, bank is in a program. I have to go there. He drove from Transekulu down to Philbon, New Haven, to be the only person apart from my wife and I that attended. I still have the tapes. I've not been able to play the tapes. Embarrassment in my house. I still preached my heart out. Preached to my wife and my friend. I printed 500 or 1,000 flyers. I can't remember. I shared out everything. Oh, I shared it out. Maybe this one I will refuse to print flyer. This one now. They said print flyer. I said, Chooks, I'll not get that. No, there's another Chooks here. I said, Chooks, I'll not get that for flyer. Boss said, I will not print. I said, I'm not printing flyer. Just send the thing around by WhatsApp. I just was not. In fact, Israel would testify. I was the least interested person in this seminar. Like, guys, I bet we don't preach for the whole year. Must we do it? And I said, I will go to the mall. I said, mall. Our main reason why I didn't want to go to the mall this time around was that. Why were I using here? Just that. One, I wanted to do more days. And secondly, I just wasn't mentally interested in the hassle of carrying equipment up and down and all of that. That time, we were ready to carry equipment. We printed a flyer. No man show. Apart from my good friend. Till today, he hasn't forgotten us. The other day, I said, please help us pay for this, because you know, when this dollar thing began, we had to pay the server. So he paid, that is the people we use in the U.S., paid them dollars. And I said, okay, this is how we calculate. He said, no, forget the money. That's our own offering to Kingdom God. I paid good money, over $1,000, you know? Very good friend. I thank God for his life. It was the only encouragement on the last day of 1,000 flyers. So that was how we decided that, okay, let's start. I said, we checked the cost. We said, look, if we own the hall, overall it's cheaper. The Lord didn't whisper to me, Panky, you shall start on Saturday evenings teaching my word. Nothing like that. I just reasoned that it made more sense than this expenditure. That's how we began. Later on, we increased it to, we added them. Initially, it was Mondays. Then we changed it to Tuesdays. School of Prayer, / School of Bible Exegesis. And I'm happy you are here. People kept on coming, going. People come. Of course, internet became an easy-to-do thing. We went on the online and all of that. Now, you see where I'm going. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Many times, people have said that, why don't you just turn into a church? A man, a senior man who had even worked for before, that's ministry-wise, told me that one day came, this is what you are doing? He said, just start Sunday services. I said, no, sir, that's not actually the plan. That's not the focus. He said, why not? He said, God has sent us, does not mean we won't use our sense. The sense is correct. You should use your sense. But what the sense he was trying to use, the one I couldn't accept. He said, people are not loyal. They will come and eat free, then carry their tithes and offerings to their churches on Sunday. That you have to have services so as to collect it. Once he said that, he lost me. Any motivation I had before disappeared when I heard that statement. Let me tell you something about money. Money is a blessing, amen? And blessings are labeled. Yes. Kingdom word money is labeled. That's why we don't harass anybody. It's offering time, it's not offering time. Our money will come. If it's in your pocket, it will come. You will bring it by yourself. It's true. Don't think that these people, oh, Pastor Banky doesn't collect money. We do. But we just know we don't harass people for it. It will come. We will sit at home, it will find us. Why don't we do offering time, blessing time? It's not because offering times are not blessing times. They are. But I just always say, our money is not the change in your pocket. It is the one you proposed in your heart to give. And if you propose in your heart to give, you will find out to give it. We just give you three avenues by which you can do it. And we announce it all the time. There's a basket there. There's an account number there. You can write a check with Kingdom Ministry's name on it. Those are three things. I ain't coming to harass you. If you like, go to 10 churches and be giving to 10 churches. You can't give our own to anybody else. No, it's the word of God. Nobody said they pretend. The one that is our own, it will find us from anywhere. One day, one brother says, ministry, I says, fine. Say, I want to send some money to Kingdom Word. I said, all right. Oh, he was our brother. I said, please help us give the money to the broadcasters. When I saw the receipt from the broadcasters, I said, wow. The man went there and gave them £1,000. Yes. He just called them. Pastor Banky said, you should pay you guys some money. How much is it? £1,000. So you see me, I'm not doing offering time. I know I'm not doing offering time. I have offering time already. Are you getting my point? It's a spiritual offering time. It's every time. So when I was giving that counsel, I said, no, this is not the word of God. I don't have any problem with people coming to here and then going to their churches on Sunday and giving their tithes and offerings there. It doesn't concern me. So we maintain that since that time till now. Now, you say, what is the lesson you learned? A few weeks ago, we sat down, we were talking. And they told me that in this town, there used to be a man that did exactly what we did, that we are doing. Also taught on Tuesdays and Saturdays. And people harassed him and told him, convert it to a church. And he listened to them. You were the one telling me, just a few weeks ago. I didn't even know this. And then he converted it to a church. And people dispersed and did not come back. I laughed. I said, I didn't have to learn that. These things are not tricks. They are spiritual things. It is not the way you arrange or manipulate it. They said, look, if it's Pastor Bank, if it is Sunday, this place will be full. We won't have where to sit. I said, it's good that they have where to sit. Because if they don't have where to sit now, I start looking for where they will sit. Now people come with all kinds of things. And let me tell you the truth. For a long time, I actually believed it. Now, that's one part I shouldn't forget to mention. I believed it even though I did not practice it. What I mean is that I was convinced that if, you know, for the number of us that come on Saturdays, I said, if it was Sundays, it would be three times that volume for Sunday services. Believe me, na imagination. What do I call them? Vain imagination, no. Vain. That is what the Bible calls leaning on your own understanding. There are people that God planted in Enugu, they are doing the kind of business. They say if you carry it to Lagos, it will explode. Yes, it exploded. An explosion usually destroys things. Look, don't just be moving up and down. People tell you that if you carry this, your business to Lagos, it is called your own understanding. That's what it's called. It's called your own understanding. Don't just get up and say, I'm going to Lagos. And then this thing, if I get to Lagos, I start doing it. That is why you find out that everybody came, they came from Katsina, they come from Jigawa, they came from Benue, they came from Port Harcourt, they came from Enugu, Anambra, all of them came to Lagos. You now find a glut of people like you in Lagos. Then the first 1 year, you will not see the amount of business you used to see in 1 month in Enugu. You now say you want to go back. You can't go back. You know, many of your friends who went to America, you know why they have not come back? Shame. Some can't pay flight tickets. You know, people, Nigerians think that and just go to America. You know, Obama will just print dollar and give to you to keep for him before Donald Trump comes. lie. It's a lie. Believe me, nobody's keeping anything for you. You sweat hard. Look, fly come Nigeria. It's easier to fly from Nigeria to America than to fly the other way. Even with this current rate of dollar. I told you once, we traveled. So my wife was wearing one very colorful dress. So we're on the plane. We're just entering the plane. This was in the U.S. We're going from Texas to, Georgia. So while we're now on the plane, so I was my friends. In fact, we went for something, but we went to their house first. So we're all going together, my friend and his wife, me and my wife. So one white woman picked interest in my wife's because of her garb and all of that, really colorful dress she was wearing. And as I was talking, where are you from? Because he wants to just, these people are not from the U.S. My wife said, okay, from Nigeria. Okay, you came around. What did you come to do? Just talking. The woman said, where have you been? So my wife said, okay, when I came, I went from New York. I went to see my sister. That she lives in Virginia. Then from there, and I came to Houston here. From here, I'm going to Atlanta. So we're just talking normal gist, too. So my friend was listening. He was listening. When they finished, he said, Black, your wife just terrorized that woman. I said, what do you mean terrorizing her? He said, she was describing, she went here, she went here, she went there. He said, Americans know they work like that, 2-1-P. There's only people like you that show up and be going here and going there and going here and fly. You know, to an average Nigerian, that was strange. I thought they had the time. He said, ask the woman how many places she has been to. I said, is it Black? Is that my friend I was telling you about earlier, the faithful friend? He said, it's not like that to buy flight ticket. Except it is, that's why you'll be reading story that they saved for 2 years for a holiday. Nigeria, save for holiday. No. Either we go or we don't go. If we are going, we have the money. If we don't have it, we are not going. Save for holiday is not the will of God concerning us. The Lord is good. So what I'm going to say is that, so don't just assume I just go to America. Some of your friends, they have not come back because they can't afford to come back. And then unfortunately, you know, there's one thing. Tell people who are abroad, they have to be careful. They assume that, you know, when they left, all of you were in your 20s, all of you were broke, all of you were poor, all of you were trekking, all of you were single, all of you nothing. After 15 years, they America tried to hustle. They forgot that calendar is also counting in Nigeria. You're not earning maybe $100,000 a year, no. But what you did, you got a job, started a business. You were being promoted. You were increasing. You had 2 members of staff. You rented a house. You married that girl. You had 2 children. Are you getting my point? 3. You manage. Not very fine, but you have one nice little car. The whole family is managing it. I'm just moving like that. 15 years passed. And your friend is fixed in his mind the way he left you. Think that your life did pause. Then one day now comes by, hey, how you guys doing? He said, that's my little, you see one little boy running up and down. Yeah, that's my little boy. He's in there, just one. He enters your house, he sees a flat screen TV. You sit down there, you're watching CNN. AC is blowing you. Now, you don't think you are rich, oh. As far as you are concerned, you are still struggling. After all, you are paying rent. You think that, you know, but your guy, they look. He check in life, check your own. He realize a pause no work for here. Every man, they use fast forward. As I'm telling you, listen, don't use common sense to be running your life up and down. If you do, you will want to return. Shame won't let you come back. No, that's what I'm trying to emphasize to you. Don't just assume. He said, do not lean on your own understanding. Don't just assume that when I leave here, I go to Lagos. Suddenly, it will be booming. The man you left in the back lake, when you went to Lagos, you will come back in 10 years' time. You will discover that because he was behind in the back lake, he was able to buy 1,000 square meters. He rented one small duplex there. And when you come back, your blood pressure is 200 over 130. His own is still hanging around 110 over 75 because he sleeps on time. And all the rubububububub at the end of the day, you people are eating the same brand of rice. Yes. You are wearing the same kind of suit. You now ask yourself, why did they, but apart from the fact that your eye is perpetually red. You now ask yourself, what was all this my reason about? Please be around in January when I start teaching on Ecclesiastes. When we are done with Ecclesiastes by the Spirit of God, in fact, they will need to push you in the morning to wake up. Because you will discover that life is a gift. Yes. It's a gift. And listen, we have to get these thoughts into our minds. It's a gift. What the Lord is doing, all right, is preparing us to receive from Him. That's what He's doing, preparing us to receive from Him. Do not lean on your own understanding. Say, don't use any calculation. Like I was saying, of course, I didn't do what people said I should do. But deep inside my heart, it made sense. Just that I said, that's not the will of God for me. That's not the plan of God for my own ministry that I had to do. But I think it deep inside my heart, I felt that yes, it's true. Then God said, Banky, I know you are not being tempted to do it too, but let me just prove to you that you did what was right. That was when you now brought the story for me a few weeks ago. I said, Pastor, this thing you are doing, I heard a man was doing it before. But he listened to the counsel. When he listened to the counsel of people, he leaned on their understanding. And that was the end. That is, the church didn't work and the ministry closed. Oh, it's not as if he now reversed back. No. That was the end of it. Do not lean on your own understanding. What's the message for today? Fruit is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Maybe I should drop this key as I'm closing. That is why prayer for us is not a religious habit. Is a key for breakthrough in life. Are you getting my point? What am I by prayer? Simply going to God and asking Him for this gift. Grace is when God's power works for you. Listen, we tell the same stories again and again, but they are true. They are Bible stories. If you tell a normal person that the Lord has called you, you are going to be a ruler amongst men. You know what normal people will do? They join the pathway of rulership that they understand. For example, if you heard that call, let's say in Nigeria of 25 years ago, you know, the risk is that you will join NDA. You want to become a military officer. Why? Because for decades, soldiers were ruling. And I remember when I was doing my NYC, I served quite some time ago. It's been a while, all right? I finished NYC 23 years ago. That was the first bad I went to Taraba State. There was one officer in my barracks that time. I still remember his name. I just want to mention it. He was saying, yes, you know, when we're leaving with the coppers, so they did a kind of small get-together for us in the officer's mess. So we introduced ourselves, and it was all the officers present, they were introducing themselves. He now mentioned his name. I remember one guy from Edo State said, yes, that we should note that name, that we'll be hearing that name. And I just realized in my mind, this boy, he was older than me, but this guy planning to enter the ranks of political, you know, military and work his way up the ranks. Except that was 1993. That was when Ibrahim Babangida just finished annulling June 12th, and the tempo in the nation was that he had to leave. He stepped aside. You know the rest of the story. Abacha took over after a short while from Sheneko. And then the tempo in the country, Nadeko, everything was hot. Internationally, coups became forbidden. Any country that plotted a coup, the whole world turned against them. Nigeria returned to democracy. Obasanjo came to power and decided that there would be no coups in Nigeria again. And he brought this man back, the Takum man, the Taraba man, what's his name? Danjuman. They were officers together. That was his 2IC those days. Brought the man and told them, they sat down and said, no more coups in Nigeria. How do we do it? Wipe out every military man that ever held political office. One fell swoop, all them Buba Marwa and Co. Phew, went in one day. I remembered my friend. Good enough, he was not big enough at that time. But what is plan? We never heard his name again. We didn't hear that name. We didn't hear the name. I'm going to explain something. See, that's what people do. They lean on their own understanding. They dream and say, yes, I'm going to be blessed by God. I will be a major financier of the gospel. So what am I going to do? Go and start doing business. That's lean on your own understanding. Sometimes God says, stay where you are. Okay, go and do a master's. Start teaching in the university. And you're wondering, how does that translate to billions of naira? Because she, I gave you a job as a lecturer. Be doing it. Occupy with this until I come. Do not lean on your own understanding. If a man heard that, you know what he should do? He should pray. Dear Father, this is what I have in my heart. This is my desire. Because it comes different ways. It can be a desire. It can be something you have understood. Maybe through revelation, through dreams, through prophecies, whatever. You pray about it. And then you go about your business. When someone anointed David in the midst of his brethren, the man did not join the army because of that. What did he do? He went back to being a shepherd. Then God began to arrange events. First Saul needed somebody, they sent for David. Then one day the father sent him, go and check on your brothers, and he stumbled on Goliath. And his typical youthful exuberance, he said, I can take this guy down. He took Goliath down. That was when men began to follow him. All the women began to sing for him. Then the heart of the nation began to turn towards him. Then problems started. They began to run from the problem. Saul was pursuing, he was running. Eventually, one day, of course, men gathered around him. Then one day, God killed Saul. By that time, he had increased the popularity of David so much that the whole of Israel gathered and said, you are the king that God sent to us. That was how he became king. He did not orchestrate any event for himself. Life is a gift. That's what I'm saying. And a sign that you believe in it is that you learn to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to get tired. I talk about the law of faith and grace. When you pray with faith. What is faith? It's simply knowing that it is God that gives. It is God that gives. Listen. If you're expecting me to teach the principles of how to declare this, how to connect with this, I came to teach scriptural principles. How Christians operate by grace. How do we get gifts from God? We ask. We ask him simply. Jabez, you know, I told you once. We traveled to my father-in-law's village. He was opening a house in the village. Very, very grand house. Beautiful house. Apostle, you came that day. You saw it. If I show you a picture of the place at night, you won't know it's Nigeria. For the way he flooded the compound with light. That's outside. You go inside, that's how the house was flooded with light everywhere. So my son now came one evening. I said, Daddy, how come there are so many chandeliers in this house? Because the boy was counting and counting. I said, my son, it's called prosperity. When you have money, you do anything you like with it. Your grandfather wants a house in the village. He decided to do it to satisfy himself. My son now said, okay, how do I find prosperity? Man, good thing, good. Even the small boy could appreciate it. He knew his own father's house in Enugu. He didn't have anything like that. Now, so that day, when he now came, he said, so Daddy, how do I find prosperity? I said, kneel down here. He knelt down. I said, say after me. Lord, Lord, oh that you will bless me indeed. And you make my name great. And keep me from harm and enlarge my coast. And keep me from harm that it does not trouble me. And all of that. I just led him through what I could remember of the prayer of Jabez. He repeated it. And I said, in Jesus' name. He said, in Jesus' name. Amen. I said, stand up. Now, go and read your book and do what is right. That's the end. I said, now, go and read your book and do what is right. How you will find prosperity is what I have taught you. You kneel down, ask God for it. Then go and read your book and do what is right. And prosperity will find you. Prosperity will come to you. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, prosperity will find you. What am I teaching you today? It's a gift. Tell your neighbor, it's a gift. It's not the result of your struggle. It's a gift. It's not a result of your intelligence. It's a gift. It's not the result of where you are. It's a gift. All we are doing is qualifying to receive the gift of God. Many people, I said something yesterday. This wasn't happening to many of us. We have not separated light from darkness. We pray, but we trust in struggle. We pray, but we trust in our certificates. We pray, but we trust in our connections. We pray, but we trust in our intelligence. We pray, but we trust in one passport who was born somewhere. This is when I see the way Christians run up and down to go and have babies in strange places, I laugh. And they tell you to give the child a chance in life. That is one of the greatest statements of unbelief in this generation. Please go and listen to the series, Total Faith. You will know when you do that for your own children, you cap the faith of God in your life to be able to download blessings from Him. It's not delivering abroad I'm talking about, but that statement that let me do it to give my children a chance in life. It's iniquity. It's unbelief. Find other reasons. Children are blessed. Let's not talk about that. Please go and listen to our series, How to Bless Your Children. Make sure you understand that these things are gifts. It's not the result of your passport. It's not. It's a gift. And that's why he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's verse. They now said that, honor the Lord from your substance and from the first of all your increase. Why did he say that? He was saying, remember, it's a gift. So when you get it, the first thing you do is go and tell him, thank you. It is you. It's not there. When I give this to God, he will give more. No. He was saying, he's the one that gave it. Quickly acknowledge that he's the one. That was a principle of first fruits. He said, if you do that and constantly recognize that it is God, he said, then he will fill your life with plenty. When Nebuchadnezzar did not recognize it, God said, let me teach this boy a lesson. When he said, now I recognize it, God said, increase his kingdom. Are you getting my point? Laws of fruitfulness, the law of faith and grace. Today, my emphasis is whatever you will be by the grace of God. Let me just say this and I close with it. Faith, I said, has two sides. Faith is also defined as faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Anything you know to be the principles, the truths of God, operate by them all the time. For example, there's another, let's just read this one. I think this would be a good one to use to close it. I want to close now. Luke chapter 19. Let me just really read through this. Well, I may not read it, but remember there are these people that the Lord Jesus told a parable concerning a man who went out to receive a kingdom, and he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. That's verse 13 of Luke chapter 19. And then when he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered them to come to him. He now said, in verse 16, the first appeared saying, Master, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in the very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second came saying, Master, I've made 5 more, your mina. He said, be in charge of 5 cities. Then you know the rest of the story. Let me just stop here. Now, why am I reading this again? Just to remind us, what was their destiny? In quote here, it was to be in charge of cities. What could they do to collect the cities? Nothing. The master had gone to do what? Take possession of those cities, receive kingdoms for himself. But what could they do to make sure that they were ready when the master will return? It's simple. They will be faithful in multiplying what? Minas. They could not. That's a matter of fact. It was not possible to get cities by yourself. The master is the one that took the kingdoms. While he was gone, he had given each person something. He said, do business with this one until I come back. This is the law of faithfulness as an extension of the law of faith and grace. Whatever your hand finds to do today, is where you must prove faithful first while you are waiting for God to open the next door. We are spiritual people. When I say we are spiritual people, what it means is this. We understand that I can be tending sheep today, but I know if God comes back, I may be the next king of Israel. I can be in prison today. I will sit down here and say, this is unjust. Where was God when Mrs. Potiphar was lying? Therefore, I sit in prison and I'm despondent every day, not helping anybody. Then when the Lord comes back, he will come back at his appointed time. He's not waiting for you. When he came back, he's the servant that was most diligent, that got the highest reward. Are you getting my point? The time he will come back, Joseph would have been murmuring, grumbling. Then one day, Egypt will be on the verge of trouble. And they say, what do we do? And they wouldn't send for him because he had done nothing. The law of faith and grace. Extension, the law of faithfulness. You are a civil servant today. That is where God is watching to see where he will put you on to later. You will not become rich in life because of your ability to invest. It is because of your faithfulness where you are today. Look, you must bear that in mind. I'll talk about it later. The law of faithfulness. There are people who live, they say, no, I don't have time to work for anybody. I must quickly get my own thing started. And God, they break the law of faithfulness. They don't have the opportunity to be faithful in something that belongs to somebody else. God says, if you are not faithful in that which belongs to another person, who will give you your own? You know what I'm teaching this time? To let you know that, like I said today, is grace, is a gift. What we are doing is to rearrange our hearts to be able to receive it when God will release it. Faith means that I know it is God. I know it's coming by his power, not by my own strength, not by my own machination. For that reason, whatever he gives me to do today is where I exercise the multiplication of my minas, so that when he returns, I can be in charge of the cities that he said I should be in charge of. Many people are plotting for cities. You know what we're going to do? We're going to move into the cities. Amen? Amen. We're going to overthrow whoever is ruling. Amen? Amen. We're going to buy the kingdom. Amen? Amen. I'll be attending seminars on takeover of cities. And business consultants will be coming every day. So there's 7 keys to increasing the cities and multiplying and taking them over. Then the master comes back. The master is looking for you. Tell him his mina is in the top drawer. I'm at the seminar. Do you get my point? The master returns and picks them one by one. You'll be in charge of 10 cities. You'll be in charge of 5 cities. You'll be in charge of 3 cities. You know, there were 10 servants. The little is about 3 of them. All of them, something was told to each one of them. When that one returns, say, man, I've learned certain keys on takeover of cities. My God. When we start releasing. He said, meanwhile, where's James? Say, James, he has gone to take charge of 10 cities. What about Philip? He has gone to take charge of 5 cities. They didn't follow him to the seminar, but they were busy multiplying mina. He that has an ear, let him hear. Let's bow our heads to pray. I'm not giving you human wisdom. I'm conducting the Spirit of God. And as the Spirit of God was coming, was speaking to you, just respond to what he said. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
I bless you with the blessing of God.
Amen.
As you depart from here, goodness will go with you.
Amen.
Mercy will follow you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Any affliction in your body that came here with you, I rebuke it and I command it to disappear in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Healing is your portion.
Amen.
From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, healing that Jesus paid for, that is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I command fruitfulness to come into your body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, those hands, in all that you do with them, you will prosper.
Amen.
As you go to do your business, you will prosper.
Amen.
Listen to what will happen to you the coming week. You are in a corner. Location is against you. But the Spirit of God will direct customers to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will understand what is called grace.
Amen.
You've applied in about 4 places looking for work. The 5th place you did not apply, that's where you will get an appointment.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People who know the governor will look for that job, they won't get it. God will just do it for you to show that he is a ruler. And that whatever people get is what he gives them. And that where you are going to go get to in life, he will be the one to take you there. That will just be a sign for you. And it's happening for somebody over the next 2 weeks.
Amen.
Before Christmas comes, that thing will be in your hands.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is well with you.
Amen.
This word that you have heard today and as yesterday, and you will hear for the rest of this week, they won't stand up against you the day of judgment.
Amen.
But you will abide by them and they will bring fruit in your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 So let's share the grace in fellowship. It's on that piece of paper. When I say 1, 2, let everybody look at it for those who don't know it. That's how we share grace in fellowship. 1, 2, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are passed out of death and we are passed into life. We are passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We are passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. Because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is mine.